you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. John. Jesus and his disciples went into the region of Judea, where he spent some time with them, baptizing. John was also baptizing in Aenon near Salim, because there was an abundance of water there, and people came to be baptized, for John had not yet been imprisoned. Now a dispute arose between the disciples of John and a Jew about ceremonial washings. So they came to John and said to him, "Rabbi, the one who was with you across the Jordan, to whom you testify, he is baptizing, and everyone is coming to him." John answered and said, "No one can receive anything except what has been given from heaven. You yourselves can testify that I said, 'I am not the Christ,' but that I was sent before him. The one who has the bride is the bridegroom. The best man who stands and listens for him rejoices greatly at the bridegroom's voice. So this joy of mine has been made complete. He must increase. I must decrease." The Gospel of the Lord. As we come to the end of the Christmas season tomorrow, Church gives us for the transition this lapidary saying of St. John the Baptist, which is meant to inspire our Christian life as disciples and as apostles. Jesus must increase. I must decrease. It has to be that way, are the verbs being used. And the two go together. Jesus must grow, and we must shrink so that he can be all in all. This is what the Christmas season is supposed to bring about and help us to learn and to live. We remember on Christmas we were singing, "O little child of Bethlehem," the last verses, "O holy child of Bethlehem, descend to us, we pray. Cast out our sin and enter in. Be born in us today." Christ was born in the world to be reborn in us, to give us a new birth, as he talked about with Nicodemus. Just as when a baby is born, a baby grows in the womb, grows out of the womb, continues to grow. Even when the person's dead, the hair and the nails continue to grow. Life is growing. So Christ born in us must grow. That's the reality. Now, Jesus gave a parable once about the kingdom of heaven, saying that as a farmer knows, plants the seed and the seed grows even without his doing anything. It grows by its intrinsic power. And that's true. Jesus himself can grow in us without our cooperation. But he wills our cooperation. He wants us to want him to grow. And our cooperation in his growth is through our humility. As we decrease, as our pride lessens, he has the space to increase, has the space to intensify. In this rule of the Christian life, God's growing and our giving him that room to grow, it's meant to influence our prayer and life as well as our apostolate. We see that in today's readings. St. John talks about our prayer, which is meant to grow, not just through the Christmas season, but throughout ordinary time. He talks about prayer. We have this confidence in him that if we ask anything according to his will, he will hear us. And we know that he hears us in regard to whatever we ask. Prayer is supposed to grow in this faith-filled confidence that God wants what we want. As we prepare for the baptism of the Lord tomorrow, the Lord will say not just about Jesus, but at our baptism in Jesus, about each of us, "This is my beloved son, this is my beloved daughter, in whom I'm well pleased." We are his children. And Jesus was stressing in his teachings on prayer that when we grasp our dignity as his beloved children, then we learn how to pray differently. He said, if you who are evil know how to give your kids good things, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him, give himself to those who ask for anything whatsoever? He also says, why do you worry about what you eat or drink or wear? Your heavenly Father knows you need these things. And he cares for you so much more than the lilies and the sparrows. Our prayer is meant to grow. Our cooperation with Christ praying within us is meant to increase. It's the first way our life's supposed to change. Second is in our conduct. St. John describes Christian conduct, saying, we know that anyone begotten by God doesn't sin. We know that we belong to God. We know that the Son of God has come and given us discernment to know the one who is true. So we are in the one who is true. Christian behavior is to live in Christ, that one who is true, so that our behavior is an extension of his life in us. The beginning of this passage, he is talking about sin, and that it is possible for us to sin. It's possible for us to want to increase and God to decrease. But Jesus comes to cast out that sin and enter in so that he can be born and grow. So we have confidence that he wishes to help his presence be buttressed in our life. Our big task is to say, fiat voluntas tua, let your will be done. So Jesus is supposed to increase in us as disciples. John was likewise talking about the apostolate, sharing Christ with others. The disciples of John the Baptist and others came to him in the gospel, thinking that he should be jealous, that Jesus was now baptizing, his apostles were baptizing, and literally everyone was going to Jesus. John's reaction was joy, not envy. He talked about his joy in three ways. First, that Jesus was acting on God's behalf, God the Father's will. No one can receive anything except what has been given from heaven. So John was affirming the heavenly beginning of everything Jesus was doing. Second, with humility, he described himself as the forerunner, the one who would prepare the way for the Lord. Yourselves can testify that I am not the Christ, but that I was sent before him. But the third, and perhaps the most important reason, is the one who has the bride is the bridegroom. The best man who stands and listens for him rejoices greatly at the bridegroom's voice. So this joy of mine has been made complete. St. John's self-identity was as the shoshen. That was the Hebrew office of what we typically call the best man. But in Hebrew times, the best man was someone who wasn't just a chum of the husband and the one to give a toast at the reception and present the rings at a wedding ceremony. Shoshen was so much more than that. The shoshen was the one who, in that period between the contractual marriage and the husband and wife's living together, the 1 to 3 year period, he was the one who protected the bride from anybody else who wanted to get in the way between her husband and her. He was the one who arranged all the details of the wedding reception. He was the one who cheered, in a sense, presided over that wedding reception. And then very importantly, when they were going to become one flesh for the first time after God had joined them in one flesh 1 to 3 years earlier when they'd exchanged consent, he was the one who would wait inside the tent with the bride before the bridegroom would come. The bride would go into the tent under the same huppah in which they had exchanged their consent and get ready. And the bridegroom would stand there because there weren't really lamps and lights in that tent, so that there'd be no surprises and someone else wouldn't try to sneak in that circumstance. It was the Shoshan who was at the gate to make sure nothing would happen to the bride. He would only open up the tent when he heard the bridegroom's voice. "It is I." He recognized his friend's voice. And the bridegroom would come in with the bride, and the Shoshan would leave, and his duties were now over. St. John the Baptist identifies himself as that Shoshan, the one who had protected the bride, the one who had made the arrangements for the reception. "Behold the Lamb of God, behold him who comes to take away the sins of the world." He was getting the people ready to rejoice when the bridegroom came and to receive him like a bride. And as soon as he heard the bridegroom's voice, his joy wasn't less. It was complete. It was perfect. We know that all of salvation history, God describes in a wedding image. On Christmas Eve, we would have heard in the church the words of the prophet Isaiah. "Just as a man marries a woman, so will your builder marry you." And John was that best man, as that builder through whom all things were made came to espouse himself to us, to make that full lifetime loving commitment. This is what the Christmas season has been preparing us to embrace in its full reality, to let grow. As we prepare now to enter into the consummation of that spousal union between Christ and us, we ask through St. John the Baptist's intercession for this truly to grow, for us to pray with greater intensity, for us to live evermore in such a way that people in seeing us might see Christ, and that we might share John the Baptist's zeal and office to get others ready to recognize the voice of the Lord and to come and live a life of loving communion hereafter. He must increase. Praise be Jesus Christ.